We're also pleased to have Beer back with us in the studio. Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He is with us monthly, has been for a long time on a Monday. And we do these shows to give you the opportunity to ask questions if you have problems around the home, things that need to be fixed. He knows a lot about the various parts of the single-family home. And if you have questions about the attic or the basement, the walls, the windows, the doors, siding, insulation, gutters, you get the idea. 333-9455. That is the number for Champaign Urbana. And don't be afraid. No one's going to grab you on the way, try to squeeze a pledge out of you. Of course, we would like it if people would contribute to the station. But you don't have to do that to call in here on the show. It's the same thing as always. You'll come right here to the program. So in Champaign Urbana, 333-9455. And we also have that toll-free line. That is 800-222-9455. Well, it's good to have you back.
Well, good to be here.
We already have a caller ready to go, and we will talk with them. Someone in Urbana on line one. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a question about siding, and if nobody else calls in, I've also got a question about a basement. But let me start with a siding question. I'm preparing to put some new siding on. The existing siding is a board and batten, and the board pieces, and I'll put that in quotes, are eighth-inch asbestos over this Celotex so-called mush board, and the battens are redwood. And my plan is to put up a cement fiberboard lap siding, and my intention is to just leave the asbestos there because it's hard asbestos, and I think it's okay to encapsulate it, but to pull off those battens just so I have a flat surface there to work on. I called you about this one other time when you were on the radio, and in that case, I was working on the east side of the house, and you advised me, I was thinking about the possibility of putting a layer of a house wrap between the asbestos and the cement fiberboard, and you advised me not to do that. You just didn't think it was worth it because it was on the east side of the house. Now I'm working on the west side of the house, and I'm wondering about not only doing that, but also it seems to me that there's a possibility that rodents have gotten in underneath it, chewed away the mush board at that little edge at the bottom where it comes down to near the ground. I mean, it's still off the ground, but I'm thinking that I should cut away the bottom foot of both the asbestos and the mush board and replace it with 5/8 OSB and some kind of tin or aluminum or something in there to keep the rodents out. So I'd like to hear any advice you have on that.
Well, basically, I'm wondering how it went with nailing through the asbestos on the side that you did, in that the asbestos is so brittle, very often when you try and nail through it, it shatters.
Yeah, okay. Well, I should have explained. They put the studs up on 1 foot centers, and then they had these 1 foot boards, and so when I put my nails in, I put them into the studs, and I went between two adjacent asbestos boards.
Okay. Because that is a problem with the cement asbestos boards in that they are very brittle. And
yeah, they are brittle.
They tend to shatter when you drive a nail
into
them.
Indeed. I can attest to that.
As far as rodents or something or other getting into the board that is, I presume, Celotex board under it, I would suspect it to be moisture bouncing up and rotting it rather than rodents. But
okay.
Either one is a possibility.
Yeah.
It would be a good idea to cut that off, and your real problem is going to be cutting the asbestos without generating a bunch of dust that's potentially dangerous.
Yes, I know. Yeah, and I tend to use a dust mask, but...
Well, yeah, certainly that's the minimum.
Yeah.
It would be to use a dust mask.
Well, I guess I have one of those vibrating tools that... multi-master tools that doesn't generate quite so much dust and uses a carbide or a diamond blade on that. So.
Yeah. Well, that will certainly help, but I would want
still
to...
Still use a dust mask, yeah.
Yes, you still need the dust mask, and with the way you've got the asbestos on, I think it will work to put another layer on. I'm interested to note that you're looking at the fiber cement, which I think is one of the better siding products on the market at the moment.
Yeah, I like it the best. It's hard to get, but it's the best. But what about the house wrap? What do you think?
Since
we got the studs on, or these boards on one-foot centers, they didn't caulk between those, and there's a lot of open space there. But
I doubt that you're getting much air through it because your Celotex board is continuous behind it.
It is. You're right about that, yeah.
I doubt very much that the house wrap would be worth the trouble.
Okay. All right, great. Well, thank you very much. Time for a basement question, or should I get
sure.
the line
Yeah,
behind?
Sure. No, okay. That's okay.
Okay. Well, we were working in doing a cutting up the basement floor to put in a new bathroom because we wanted a slope shower, and we broke into some drainage tiles, and we had a basement sewage sump, and so just as an emergency, we ran the drainage tile into the sewage sump. I know we're not supposed to do that, but I guess my question is, or two-part questions, I don't understand why they put drain tile on the inside of a wall and what I can do about that to make it right and legal and everything. And the other question is, I heard some years ago that there were some guys at the State Water Survey who developed some kind of a electronic method of keeping basements dry. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but it's somehow or other it electrolyzes the water, and I guess it just converts it into hydrogen and oxygen. I guess you better be careful where you vent it.
No, that isn't how the system works.
Okay.
But basically, it was developed at the CERL, the Army Corps of Engineers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here. Okay, I had the wrong.
And this was a system that was designed to keep it from penetrating the concrete walls.
Okay.
So it's a matter of keeping it out, not converting it to hydrogen and oxygen.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the reason that somebody put tiles around the inside was we have a reputation in this town of having wet basements, most of which is caused by improper grading on the outside, not anything that happens. We have very little hydraulic pressure forcing water up from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's nearly always water off your own roof that's causing the problem in a basement. But there are those people who put the tile in both inside and outside the foundation.
I see.
And you're right, that is not supposed to be hooked into a sanitary sewer. Theoretically, there should be a separate sump and sump pump put in to drain that tile.
Well, our plan is to just go to the other end of that tile where we think the other end is, in the opposite end of that wall. This sanitary sewer sump is in one corner of the building, and we're going to go to the other corner and break through the concrete, and we expect to find the other end of that drain tile there, and then we'll put a sump in there with a sump pump.
That's fine. That's fine, and then you block it where you've cut it before.
Yeah, and block it where we cut it before, right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And that electronic thing is not out on the market yet?
To an extent, it is. I have a little bit of information on it. If you can leave your address with our engineer here, I'll see if I can get a copy for you.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Jason, if you could get this guy's, we'll take it off the air and get his name and address, and we'll pass it on to Hank, and then he will pass the information on. Hank Spies is our guest here this morning from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He is on the program once a month, always on Monday. And the first hour, and we'll give you the chance to call in, ask questions about home maintenance problems. 333-9455, that's the number for Champaign-Urbana, and then toll-free 800-222-9455. If it would be a long-distance call, you can use that number. We'll go on here to the next caller in Urbana also, line number 2. Hello. Okay, hold on just a second. I think we need to – there we go. We got you now. Hello, Urbana Line 2.
Hi.
Yes. Go ahead.
I have a sump pump in my basement, which was put in after the house was built. The water was coming up between the cracks in the cement, and I was told that the water would run under the cement and end up in the pit of the sump pump, which it never did. So I wet vacked it and dumped it into the pump because I never could have picked the wet vac up and dumped it in the tub in the basement. So when I got home from a trip after this big rain, I discovered there was water in my basement, and the sump pump had water in it. I don't know where it was coming from because it was not, there was still water all over the top of the where it usually was, and the float on the pump wasn't working. So if you pulled it, it would empty it. Is there? I'm replacing the float, and the sump pump was also full of immense amounts of suds. Does that tell me where it's coming from? And is there any way to make the water which comes up between the cracks in the floor go into the sump pump without my wet backing it up?
Well, usually the problem is that the sump may not have any holes in the side.
It does.
It does have holes in the side?
Yes.
Because there should be under the concrete floor a layer of sand or gravel about 4 inches deep. And if you tap into that and drain that into the sump, that usually takes care of the problem.
If the house was built in the early 1900s, will it have that gravel?
It might not have. That's the only thing I can suggest is that it might not have that if the house is that old, because that would not be the normal procedure now. It was not always at the turn of the century. In that case, really there isn't a lot you can do about it, because if you have the holes there and you can drain into the sump sideways, that really should relieve any hydraulic pressure that would be pushing the water up through the cracks in the floor.
If the water is coming up, how many feet away from the pump can this water be seeping in between the cracks and still flow under there? Do I have to have another sump pump put in?
Well, you wouldn't put in another sump pump. What you would do would be to cut a trench, fill it with gravel, and then cement back over it and have just that gravel trench drained to the sump.
Oh.
You wouldn't put in another pump.
Oh, all right.
So that would probably work.
How about the suds? Does that mean that...
That usually means your laundry is dumping into it.
Could it be laundry from the house next door, or is it mine?
I would think it was yours.
Does that mean there's a leak in a pipe or that something is hooked up wrong?
Probably hooked up wrong. There's a good chance that your laundry is going into the sump if there are suds in it, because there's no other place it should be coming from that you'll be getting soap.
Okie doke. What can I do about that? I mean, do I have to dig something up out in my yard?
Well, I don't know what the not necessarily. I would say not. Basically, we're looking for a way of connecting the standpipe from the washing machine into the sanitary sewer line and not that other drain line.
Well, this is the first time I've ever had water in the sump pump, so whatever happened, it hasn't. I've been doing my laundry and never had any water in
You've
my
never
sump
had
pump.
That before.
I've never had a drop of water in the sump pump unless I dumped it in there myself. So now I did.
Well, there may be a broken pipe someplace then in the drain system from the laundry that's letting it get back in there.
If the pipe were full of lint or something, do I need to dump something down it to kind of clear it out? Could it be something that easy?
Probably not. One of the things that you could do is to put some dye in the laundry drain and see if it shows up in the sump.
What kind of dye do I use? I mean, can I food coloring, or is there something?
Food
I
coloring
buy
would work. I have special dye tablets.
Can I buy them at Menards or a
No,
place?
Unfortunately. again, give me a call at my office, and I'll see about getting you some.
Okay, thank you very much.
All
okay.
right, Bye. Let's go on here to, we have somebody on line number 3, someone on the cell phone. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a couple of questions. I was reading a magazine called Fine Home Building, and they were talking about a crawl space needing to be air-conditioned and heated, just like you would do a basement, as opposed to having it ventilated.
Well, that's one thing you can do. However, it's extremely difficult to do properly except in new construction.
Okay.
I would not recommend it. I've read the same article, and I would not recommend that for existing houses.
Well, the reason I was saying is they actually, the people before me insulated the floor over it. That's the family room. With big insulation vats, and the floor is dirt, and it didn't really have a vent. It just had a cement block that was loose that you could pull in and out, and the sump pump pipe went out there. And with this recent recent problem, I got water in there.
Is this connected to the basement?
Yeah, the basement is under part of the house.
Okay.
And the only reason, I realized water was seeping around the water line that comes into the house through the basement wall, the concrete wall, and there was a little water seepage there.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that it looks like I've been pumping water into my, I've been recirculating my sump pump water. So I just wondered if that's, they said to check with your local fire department or something.
Yeah, well, okay, there are a couple of things here. First of all, the dirt surface should be covered with plastic.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, it should be. Do that to start with. Lap the plastic up the foundation walls a few inches so that any water that soaks in through the foundation will go under the plastic and not on top of it. Secondly, it should never have been had the floor insulated.
I'm sorry?
The floor should never have been insulated.
Oh, over a crawl space?
Right.
Oh.
The appropriate means of insulating a crawl space is to insulate the crawl space walls, and therefore the crawl space becomes a semi-conditioned space. There's no heat or cooling ducted to it, but any heat that escapes from the ductwork that's down there or something like this will keep it relatively warm. And the problem being that the vapor barrier that is on the insulation, and I would imagine this is paper-backed with the paper facing down. Is that correct?
No, it's facing up to the floor.
Oh, good. Well, at least they got it in the right side up.
Yeah, I see the fiberglass hanging down.
Yeah, okay. But generally speaking, we're better off. Certainly, we need the plastic down on the dirt surface. That may solve the basic problem right there. If it doesn't, then we may need to ventilate that space, although usually the connection with the basement is adequate.
Yeah, well, they were saying, it's, I think you read that article, the air ventilating, it doesn't do anything. It's like it's just regular air. It doesn't dry it out or doesn't do anything like that.
Well, it all depends on how it is. As I say, this article was written on the basis of new construction. And I don't think there's any way of doing what they want done on existing houses.
Okay. The other question is there a test, like an air test for mold?
There are some, yes. I won't say that they're necessarily conclusive or worth what they charge for doing it.
Uh-huh.
What kind of a mold problem do you think you have?
Well, I'm kind of wondering because I smell a mustiness in the house.
Okay, put that plastic down in the crawl space, and that will probably go away.
Yeah, and I was kind of worried that maybe, you know, things in the wall were getting musty or something.
Well, as I say, remember, mold cannot grow unless there's a source of moisture.
Okay, if it grows and then the moisture is eliminated, does it still grow?
It dies.
It dies.
Right.
Okay, well, I'll try that then. Thank you very much.
All okay, right. You want to Thanks. Put down that plastic...
Even when it's wet, or should
yes.
I wait until it dries out?
No, okay. Do not wait until it dries out. And it will look even wetter under the plastic.
Okay.
Within an hour of the time you put the plastic down, there will probably be water droplets on the bottom of the plastic.
Do you have to tape the seams?
No, lap them 6 or 8 inches and just lay them there. And as I say, run it up the walls 4 to 6 inches.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. So, and the point of this is that the moisture stays on the
under the plastic.
That's
right.
Okay. Rather than coming up into
a bare crawl space, even though it looks dry, can evaporate anything from 2 to 5 gallons per 1,000 square feet per day up into the house. And this moisture in the house causes problems everywhere, all the way to the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Having the plastic missing in the crawl space can shorten the life of the shingles by up to 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's really a problem.
All right. We're getting close to the midpoint here of our regular monthly conversation with Hank Spies. Back when we thought about what kind of talk show we'd like to do, we said, well, we'd like to try to do a couple of things. Yes, we want to talk about political and social issues. But we also said we wanted to do some programs that would help people with basic problems, the kinds of things that sooner or later everybody encounters, at least if you have a homeowner, you're going to have problems like this. People have questions about their cars, questions about their health. We built these things into the program, and we have them recur on a regular basis so that then you'll know, well, once a month Hank will be here, or once a month Dr. Bochak will be here, or every once in a while Rick Karch will be here, and they'll answer your questions. At least they'll take your best shot. And I've seen all of these people do remarkable things just based on the kind of descriptions of the problems that people gave over the phone. So if here it is, the bottom line, folks. If you have found this program, shows like this that we do with Hank, useful, if we have helped you out, or, you know, I have talked to people who just say they just like to listen. I know somebody, Hank, who's a fan of yours. They don't even have a house. They just like to listen to you. And like to listen to you talk to people. So it could be that you're just, you know, you're just a fan of home maintenance. Whatever the case, this show and this station needs your financial support. And that means right now, if you're not a member of the Friends of WILL, our financial organization, now would be a great time to do it. We have some volunteers who are ready to take the call. And also here in studio with me is Jack Brighton. He's the producer emeritus. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Focus 580. So 244-9455, that's the number to call.
That's the number to call to make a pledge to support Focus 580, all the great programs you hear on WILL, AM and FM, the shows we do here with Hank Spies. You know, I have learned so much from these shows with Hank Spies. As someone who owns a home, I can say truthfully that he has saved me a ton of money. So, I mean, and I do contribute to the station. I feel that even though I work here, I get so much from it that I want to be a member of the Friends of WILL. So I hope you feel like me. Make that pledge call this morning. We've got volunteers standing by. The phone number again, 244-9455. Area code 217. If it's long distance, you can make a collect call to that pledge line. We'd love to have you on board. And you know, these shows, they're like seminars on the air on all these different topics that, you know, people have a chance to learn about and call in and ask questions. So this is the kind of thing that we think that public radio ought to be doing. And it's the kind of thing that we need your support to keep doing.
That's right.
Once again, 217-244-9455 to make a pledge now.
Okay. I, too, have learned a lot from this man and other guests, but somehow I never managed to carry that learning over into my life. I can advise people. If people
now, David,
ask me, they say,
that's not,
you know,
true. You've done a lot of work on your house. And in fact, you've told me about all the work that you your porch, you know, various things that you've done in your house. And you said, well, yeah, Hank was telling me that I had, you know, sink the posts a certain depth, and
It's mostly the stuff that I've done. It's just mostly like putting big Band-Aids on stuff. And eventually,
well,
eventually, I have to have somebody who knows what they're doing come and fix the problem. And they say, nice Band-Aids, Dave. And I say, well, thank you very much.
But why did you do it this way?
Well, because I didn't know what I was doing, obviously. Can't you tell that by looking at it? Well, at any rate, we appreciate the contribution that Hank has made all of these years by coming here to do the show. And again, for people who have appreciated that or other kinds of things that we do on the program, we need your support, your financial support. Basic membership level is $40. If you want to go up to 75, we'll send you the member card, which is a pretty cool thing, and I imagine we'll talk about that at other times. You can do it on an installment basis. You can put it on your credit card. You know, it's really easy, and it matters a lot to us. It's really important. You might think, well, heck, somebody else can do it, but that's not true. We want to get more and more people in all the time, and the way we do that is by getting folks who have never supported us before to do that, to step up and say, okay, now's the time, and I will do it. So if you're in that category, we'd be very happy to hear from you this morning. You can call our Pledge Center, not here to the program. You won't talk to Hank. I mean, you can, but for the pledge, that's a different thing. 244-9455, and we'd appreciate it. Thank you, Jack. We have some folks here ready to go, and as I said, if you'd like to talk with Hank Spies, you have your home maintenance question. Just dial the regular number, and that's 333-9455, and toll-free 800-222-9455, and he'll do his best to answer your question. We have several people lined up here. They're all in Urbana, and we'll take them in the order they came in, starting with line one right here. Hello.
Hello. I live in a Weller home that was constructed in Urbana in about the 50s sometime or other. And I'm finding that the house really does hold excess moisture. And one of the results of that is that the floor vents are becoming a little corroded. I've tried to replace them, and a few years ago I did replace a couple. But when I went last year to find some to replace others, I discovered that all the floor vents available now in the hardware stores are 10x4, and my floor vents are 9 7/8x4. I bought one and tried to use it. I had to hammer it in place, so it's a little used area, so I'm not worried about not being able to remove it, but I wouldn't want to replace the others that way. So my question is twofold. First, do you know of a source for 9 7/8x4 floor vents? And secondly, what's the best way to try to deal with the excess moisture in the house?
Well, I suspect the excess moisture may be due to grading. Those houses were originally built without gutters and downspouts. I don't know whether you've added that or not.
My house does have gutters and downspouts.
Look at the grading around the house and see that the lot slopes away from the foundation, because you have ductwork buried in the concrete slab.
Right.
So that any water that soaks in from the outside can end up going into the ductwork. And I have found standing water in ductwork on some of those houses. So it's a matter of getting the drainage away from the house.
Well, I did have the ducts cleaned a couple of years ago, and everything seemed dusty rather than wet.
Good.
I mean, they didn't discover any moisture there.
There may be some other sources of moisture in the house besides the ductwork. For instance, does your dryer vent outside?
Yes.
And how about the kitchen vent hood?
I don't know.
Unfortunately, most of them don't these days.
Well, I don't use that very often, so I'm not.
Another one of those that doesn't cook.
Huh? Well, I do top-of-the-stove cooking for the most part.
Right. So, as I say, it's one of those things. There can be a number of sources of moisture. As far as the replacements are concerned, you might have to go to one of the wholesalers of heating equipment, Connor Company, Capital, someone of those things. And I don't know whether they'll even sell you one or not. You may have to go through a heating contractor to get them.
Uh-huh.
But I would imagine that those duct covers are still available. If not, it's not that big a difficult problem to take an eighth of an inch off the concrete. I know it sounds like a heck of a problem, but it's not,
yes,
really.
Oh, who would I get to do something like that?
Oh, any one of the handyman services in town
would
probably handle it.
Okay. All right. Well, do you think if I were to buy a couple of dehumidifiers?
That would certainly be a start. But as I say, I'd be looking around the outside of the house to be sure that water was running away rather than toward the foundation.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Next is line number 2, and this caller is also in Urbana. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to phone in a quick testimonial for Hank Spies. We all appreciate his professionalism. He's very, very ethical, and that sometimes is hard to find. And on top and abreast of all the research, the new materials, the new techniques, and plus he's kind and helpful. But the best testimonial I've ever heard from Hank about Hank came from, we moved to town and we were buying a house. And our realtor said, we were in the process, we needed to get an inspector and have it inspected. And we mentioned that she asked who we were going to get, and we said, Hank, because we had heard the program here on your radio. And she said, oh, no, you don't want Hank. And we said, why? And she says, well, there's perfectly good homes that he just, you know, kind of turns people away from, or something to that sort. At least alerts them to very real concerns. And, you know, that just is another testimony of how ethical and how wonderful he is. So, Hank, we love you, and thank you so much for this show. Keep up the good work.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's right. You wouldn't want to have a home inspector tell you something was wrong, would you? No, that's not what we hire the home inspector, so he'll say everything's fine.
Yes, there are a few builders and a few realtors who will not allow me on the place.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. Well, that might be a reason
no
to
more.
Find somebody else to do business with. I don't know. We'll go on here. Line three, this is also Urbana.
Hello?
Yes.
Wow. That's really great news. I have a question now. This is about a barn, though, a metal barn, an old one, which I think was built around 1977, actually. And it has that white painted metal on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually standing open. There's at least one door, one of the barn doors is open, so it's... The problem that I noticed was when I was standing on the outside, the roof is showing some rust through the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something I can go up there with and paint that roof again with to keep the roof in one piece? And
oh, yes. There are a number of paints that are made for metal roofing. You may should be able to go up there, probably ought to go up with a wire brush if there's very much rust and brush a little of the rust off, and then there'll be a primer for rusted areas. Most any of the major paint companies have paint specifically for metal roofs and siding.
Oh, okay.
And,
yes. Is there any additional thing I should do for, like, the nails that are popping and things like that, or?
Well, while you're up there, it's a good idea to drive those back flush again if you've got some that are popping out.
Mm-hmm. There are.
I'm not surprised. I have one of these metal buildings on the farm, and, yes, we built it in 1945, and it's been painted at least twice since that time.
All right. So is when I put those nails back in there, they some of them have that rubber little gasket or something there.
Yeah, some of them had lead around the head that fit in.
Should I find some goo to put around the nail and then?
If it's gone and you've got a drip, yes, use a little caulk.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. Thanks. Very good. Thank you. Next is Terre Haute on our toll-free line, line four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
We have a house that was built in 1992, and when it was built, the door frame around the back door wasn't caulked between the frame of the door and the threshold. So over the years, rain, water got in there and caused some rot from the on the threshold, on the frame of the door towards the bottom on both sides, and also got in underneath the kitchen floor just inside the door and created a soft spot, fairly mm-hmm. large soft spot, maybe 14
yes.
inches, and then also underneath the house caused some damage. We have a very dry crawl space with a good vapor barrier. And when we had the home, we're in the process of buying the house, and when we had the home inspector come, he recommended that as part of the repairs of that whole area that five sister boards be installed between the joists. Am I using the right
word? It may be necessary to do that.
Well, that part has been done, but my question is, I thought to call when you were discussing about how crawl spaces are insulated, and the home inspector said that the insulation that would just be pulled down and then put back up once the sister boards were installed, but we had some other concerns about how the repairs were done, so I went under the crawl space to check and see the sister boards, and the insulation is just gone. It's not even still under the house. It's just gone. So this is five joists, with a span of five joists.
Mm-hmm.
Should insulation be put back over the system?
Yes, I would put it back over, and you can use either foam plastic insulation boards or you can hang fiberglass there.
So yeah. we should have insulation
yes.
replaced over.
Now, the main thing is, when they repaired it, did they reflash the bottom of the door? Your problem has been that the flashing at the bottom of the door was leaking. And if they didn't change the flashing at the bottom of the door, the problem will continue. In all probability, what needs to be done is the entire door frame, jam and all, be taken out and new flashing installed. And if that wasn't done, you don't have a permanent fix to the problem.
Well, I know that the entire door frame wasn't taken out because what they did was they sawed off most of the rotten part and pieced in new parts and caulked between the old and the new parts and then caulked the new parts and the threshold.
Okay.
They have to come back because they didn't take out all of the rotten parts, so they're going to come back and do it again. Mm-hmm. But
as you say, unless the entire frame was taken out and properly flashed, you do not have a permanent solution to the problem. You have a temporary. You know, any caulk is a temporary solution to anything. It's one of the Band-Aids that we're talking about.
Right. Okay, so what would reflashing look like?
They can do a metal flashing, or there is a special plastic flashing that is made specifically for that. It's called a jam sill guard.
It's called a what?
A jam sill guard.
Jam, J-A-M?
J-A-M-S-I-L-L, guard.
Okay.
And this was a special flashing that was designed and patented by a builder who got tired of callbacks, and I have never had one of those fail.
A jam sill guard.
Right.
And goes underneath the threshold, or where does...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The threshold.
Right, and it will wrap up around the edges of the door jamb itself. Now, the other thing to look at is the door flashed properly at the top? Because one of the ways that this damage can occur is if it is not flashed properly at the top, the water runs sideways and then down the jamb and sits on the bottom and rots the jamb out from the bottom. So we've got to be sure that this door is properly flashed on all sides, both the bottom and the top.
Okay. I have another question about the patch in the floor, but while we're talking about the door, there was no screen door or storm door on the back, and the home inspector, when we had him in and we told him that we were later, after we've finished everything about buying the house, we will put a screen and storm door on the back. Will that help reduce this problem?
Probably have no effect whatsoever. Is it a wood door or a metal door?
It's a metal door.
Okay. Glass in it?
Yes.
I would not put a storm door on it.
No?
No. What direction does it face?
North.
Well, okay. You could put a storm door on the north, but it really isn't necessary. The metal doors are really as well insulated as you need to be.
Well, what we really want is we want the screen.
Okay, fine. Put the screen door on it. You're all right.
Okay.
We run into problems with people putting storm doors on metal doors, and this creates a solar collector. If it faced any direction but north, it would tend to overheat the door and do the door in. I have measured surface temperatures on doors that faced east as high as 180 degrees in the wintertime.
Are there screen doors that are not also storm doors?
Yes.
Okay. So, and we can tell that by going to Menards and looking on what it says?
Right.
Okay, don't get a storm door. Okay, now my question about the patch is the patch on the floor. So I kind of watched them do it a little bit, but I don't know what I'm looking for. And when they were done and they went away and I crawled underneath the house to look at what they had done, there are pieces of plywood with nails sticking through them that are just in between the joists over where the patch is. And
are they supported by cleats on the sides of the joists?
No.
Okay, well,
there's just nails coming down from the top, and they're like stacked a couple of boards thick as a patch over, and I just don't know what it's supposed to look like.
Well, generally speaking, that plywood that they put in should have been supported by a length of 2x2 or 2x4 on the floor joists to hold up the edges.
Okay, so it should go. It should go the entire width between the joists. There should be something that's.
No. It'd be along the joists, not between them.
Okay. Wait. There's nothing. There's nothing along the joists. Just in between the joists, there are these pieces of plywood
right.
that are nailed.
Okay, and the edges of it should be supported on something on the joists.
Okay, so there should be something connecting the joists to the patch.
Right.
Okay. Okay, then I have another question. Since I don't really know what I'm looking for, should I try to get our home inspector to come back and look at what the repair...
Probably would not be a bad idea.
And I suppose I should ask... definitely if he does that, but is that something that home inspectors, is that like normal for them to be called back again?
We often go back to check repairs.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very... Oh, one last question. The metal, it's built in 1992, so it has metal, are they called spacers, between the joists?
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't nailed to the joists.
It's all right. They don't do any good anyway.
They don't... So it's not important to have
right.
them done?
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, very good. I hope that helps. Let's go to line number one for our next caller. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I wonder if you can comment on cement fiber siding that's supposed to have a 50-year guarantee. What do you think of it?
Well, I think it's a pretty good product and has some significant advantages. The main thing is there is a difference between brands. I don't know if the feedback that I've gotten from the builders is that the Hardy plank is probably the most common one, that they thought the CertainTeed was a little bit better, but primarily because of the surface finish and how long it will hold paint. But it has some very definite advantages in terms of not expanding and contracting very much with changes in temperature, which is always a problem with aluminum and vinyl. And it's a very durable material. It's been around, used in the rest of the world for the last 30 to 40 years and has done very well.
Okay. I hope that helps. We'll go to Urbana for the next caller here, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you have an opinion on the effectiveness of those little roofs that you put on your gutters to keep the leaves out of them. They have various names like gutter topper and stopper and so on. And I'll hang up and get your opinion.
Well, basically, some work better than others. Some are a lot more expensive than others. The one thing that you might want to consider is the fact that almost none of them will keep out extremely fine stuff, which means if you have one that is hinged so you can clean the gutter out maybe once every 5 years more easily, it's probably a better idea. However, the amount that is being charged for some of these things borders upon the obscene. I have seen these gutter products costing, have an installed cost of up to $16 a foot, whereas I know some that work just as well for less than half that. Mm-hmm. And so it does make a difference. They have patented and franchise dealers and all this kind of thing, which tends to raise the prices significantly. They do work, and they are particularly useful on multi-story houses and particularly where the homeowner is not physically capable of doing the cleaning themselves. And when you consider what it costs to have your gutters cleaned, I think it's probably a good idea.
Okay, very good. East Moline is the next caller here at line four. Hello.
Yes, I have a question. We have a house here along the Mississippi River that's been elevated on concrete blocks to the tune of about 10 feet up. And we've been told that somehow it's inappropriate to paint those concrete blocks. And the only thing I can think of is that it would possibly prevent moisture from escaping. What do you think on that?
Well, I think it's perfectly appropriate to paint them. The question is with what? Mainly, we don't want to put an oil-based paint on them. We want to use a cement-based paint or a latex paint. Uh-huh. But you do not want to use an oil-based paint on them, primarily because the latex and the cement-based paints, and I prefer the latter, will allow moisture migration.
All right, and you can see no damage or deterioration that should come to the blocks as a result of that?
No.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Well, lines are free here, and we do have time for maybe another couple of callers if someone wants to get in here real quick. The number is 333-9455. That's for Champaign Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455 if you'd like to talk with Hank Spies. We are coming into sooner or later, it's going to get hot and it's going to stay hot. And people are, I don't know if people already have been running their air conditioning.
Yes, I have.
You have. Well, I know you have. But some folks might have said, oh, well, we'll wait a little bit. Anyway, it's sooner or later, everybody's going to turn on their air conditioning if they're fortunate enough to have central air. What kind of maintenance do you think people should be doing right
now? Well, first of all, when you turn it on, get a new filter. We want to be sure that the airflow through the system is what it should be. And one of the ways you can check is to take a thermometer while your air conditioner is running, put the thermometer at a return air duct, measure the temperature, then switch it to the outlet for the cooled air, and see how many degrees difference there is between the two. If there is less than 10 degrees, your system is not working properly. If you have an old system, you may get 15 to 18 degrees drop. One of the newer high-efficiency systems will be more like 12 to 15 degrees. If you have more drop than that, there is something restricting airflow, and the system is not going to work properly or efficiently. So you can do that quick check as to what it is. Too much drop, blocked filter, too many ducts closed. For instance, if you've closed off some ductwork for the winter or something like that, mm-hmm. if you have too many ducts that are closed, there isn't enough air moving through the system, then it will not work well.
Okay. We now see it's just as soon as I said people could call, the line's filled up. I don't know if we can get anybody, everybody, but we'll try and get one or two. Next to Champaign, line one. Hello.
Yeah, this is another water in the basement sort of question. The water in our basement is coming up through the cement floor. It's not leaking in the walls or anything. And I just wonder if there's something unique about that that we need to do other than, I mean, what I was planning to do was put a sump pit in that very spot.
Well, you put a sump pit in, be sure that you perforate the sides as well as the bottom of the sump pit.
Okay.
The best way to put in a sump pit is to dig a hole at least 6 inches in diameter, larger than the sump that you're going to put in. Line that hole with filter fabric. There was this landscape fabric that you get. Then okay. drop the sump in and then fill a space between the two with gravel.
Okay, and that's probably the best technique at this point?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, and we'll go to Fairmont, line number two. Hello.
Hi, do you have any recommendations for insulating my garage roof?
Well, do you have storage up there?
No.
Okay, is there a ceiling in the garage?
Yes.
Okay, just run some loose fill in on top of the ceiling and you're in business.
Blown-in cellulose.
Blown-in cellulose or fiberglass or whatever.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've got somebody here on cell phone, line three. Hello.
Yes, sir. See, I have a question about a chimney. I have what appears to be a leak right around the chimney. It's creeping, moisture creeping down the side of the chimney on the plastering and also out on the down the wall on the chimney, and then out a little bit from the on the ceiling, and the plaster's coming loose. However, when I go up in the attic during rain, I don't see any moisture leaking between the roof and the chimney itself.
Okay, there's a real good chance that your leakage is at the chimney cap, all the way on the top. If it's cracked, we're getting water that's going down behind the brick and then coming out later inside.
Yep. And, well, one other thing, this kind of all started when I put I quit using the chimney and put a lid on the thing itself, just covered it up. I will look for a crack up there somewhere, but...
Is there anything such as a water heater still connected to it?
No.
Okay. In that case, there's only two places that you can be in a problem, and one is through the chimney cap itself,
yes.
And the other would be the joint between the chimney and the roof.
One thought I had, is there any chance moisture is seeping in through the brick and then coming out, is that ever a problem on a brick chimney?
Well, it doesn't happen very often. It can.
Okay.
You can treat the brick with a silane or siloxane coating, which will repel water but allow water evaporation to occur.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. And there we must leave it for this time around, with our thanks to Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
He's with us once a month, always on a Monday. We talk about home maintenance and give you the opportunity to call in and ask questions.